fine because of us. So they are very, very careful. Before they play our tape, before they play, they will come and play it for at least 2 hours time before they show it. But they still like what we are saying. They believe we are saying the truth. But then, it is a code. So, the person that edited it, when I call the name of any church in a derogatory manner, they edit it. Okay. Hey, sister.
Church, praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Excuse me, Pastor. I've been in a one end time message church. Top. Which said, in this end time message, women, they can cover with hair tie. And you can also bond your hair without covering it. You can bond your hair and come to church. Then, one day, a Deeper Life member was asking a question in the church. She said that opening head, like bonding it, pack it and bond it, is not right. That is covering is the right. And the pastor said, open this
Bible.
The 1 Corinthians 11, and we read. As we are reading, he said that what we need to cover is not hair, is head. That we should bring out our dictionary. And he found out that there is a difference between hair and head. That if we are covering head, it means no man should have a single hair on his head. Because what we are covering is the skull, not the hair. So what I want to ask now, if you support that what we are covering is skull. Yeah, I want to ask my question. Sir, if you support that what we are covering is our skull, not the hair, it means no man should have a hair. Like this brother Jerry now, his own is right. But I can see one brother there that has hair on his head. Then, if what we are covering is head, we can bond our hair and come to church.
I still don't catch where your question is.
What
you want to know my stand?
My question
concerning hair covering.
Yes, my question is: I know that I myself I don't open my hair, but what I want to know is,
why don't you open your hair?
I've been here since 2006.
In this church.
Yes. I'm following what you are preaching.
Okay, just following what you are preaching. Okay.
But what I want to know is this: if this Bible said head, not hair, our men, they don't need to have a single hair on their head because it's seen before God.
That's why I say I'm trying to get from which angle you are coming. Now, sister, I want you to note that almost at least all the entire message churches I have known all over the world don't cover anything on their head. The women leave their hair like that. And that's the problem many of them had with me. When this church started, I never wanted to be a follow. Everything I believe must have a scriptural backing. Not because others are doing it this way, so let me do it that way. And I went to the scripture and I discovered that what Apostle Paul was teaching there, a woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered, dishonored her head. That is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, when I tried to look at what it means, the cover there was veil. A woman praying or prophesying without a veil upon her. The emphasis there was veil. And that was enough for me to know that something has to be on top of that hair when praying or prophesying. Now, if you go down to about verse 15 or so, you will hear where Apostle Paul was given an analogy, and that is where everybody, including all the Pentecostal churches, hold on to. That the hair is given to a woman for a covering. Now, so if the hair is given to a woman for a covering, and you interpret that What Apostle Paul is referring to is that you should not cut your hair, the woman. Then, why is he specific in saying, when praying or prophesying, veil your hair? Does this mean that when praying or prophesying, grow long hair? Now, he was talking about an analogy. He said, does not evil nature teach you? That's what he said. When a woman prays with her hair uncovered, it's a shame to her. Then he said, that is where I picked my sermon topic that I preached, the gospel according to nature. I preached the gospel, the title is the gospel according to nature. That's where I picked my text from. Does not evil nature. So, even naturally, the woman was created with more hair than the man. That's what Apostle Paul was saying. That it's a shame for a woman to cut her hair. To leave her head and let people see her head. And I went to all the commentaries, and let me tell you, every commentary, and I went through 12 of them, all the commentaries agreed that something should be put on the hair. All. But it's okay. I didn't want to make a case out of it. I am pastoring a church. I'm responsible to this church. So, I made it our own church local order. If you invite me to your church, and all the women are Gorimapa, and they are there standing and shaking their head, I will not talk about it. You people continue what you want to do. I'll talk other things and go. And I hardly even accept invitation to other churches anyway. I hardly go to preach in any church because if I go and preach in any church, that church goes scatter. Just scatter. So I leave them as they are. Because there are so many things I will talk there that the eyes of the members will open to the nonsense they do in those churches. So, for here, this is what we believe. And if you don't believe, if covering your hair now, your hair, they bite you, go to places where they open and worship there now. It's not by force. I mean, the force anybody call here? Yeah? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Church, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sir, please, honestly, church, I beg, jam your hands for God to give us a sound pastor like this.
Jam me hand.
Jam your hands to me.
God bless you.
Sir, I want to ask you, this question goes to you straight, sir.
Yes.
You know, in Nigeria today, we have Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria.
PFN, yes.
Yeah, and we have CAN.
Christian Association of Nigeria, yes.
Sir, CAN. Now, I believe that thing is good, my own idea, because it's, I believe they are trying to bring the unity in the body of Christ. That is my own understanding. Sir, did this blood assembly belong in to any of them?
To either PFN or CAN.
Yes, sir.
We don't belong to any of them. Let me tell you, I am not the only one. This is not the only church that does not belong. Even popular ones like Christ Embassy does not belong. I heard him say it on the television. He does not belong. And it is not compulsory that you must belong. It's if you like. Now, but if you ask me, why don't I belong? Now, the motto of Christian Association of Nigeria, their motto, is that they might be one. Picking it from John chapter 17, the prayer of Jesus Christ. The prayer of Jesus Christ, he was praying for the disciples, and his prayer is that they might be one as he, Jesus Christ, is one with the Father. Now, unity, Ephesians chapter 4, he says, let's read it, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
See. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now, if you look at verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, Catholic Church and Redeem, is it the same baptism they do? So, are they one? Answer now, brother.
No, sir.
Are they one?
No, sir.
One faith. Catholic believe in praying to God through Mary and dead saints and all the other things they stand for. Other denominations, Pentecostals and the rest, do they believe so?
No, sir.
Now, one faith. Celeb people, they wear white garments. Eh? Others, do they, is it the same thing they wear? No. So, how are they one? How are they one? There's nothing that has united them together. Now, church, if this Bible does not unite you and me, no other man-made organization can unite us together.
Sir, now, concerning what you just said,
yes.
Sir, don't you know that you being beyond there, we just help, you know, it's like we help to deliver so many people.
Sorry, I don't understand you.
Sir, don't you know that, you see, let me put it this way, you, maybe, let's assume that you are part of them, let's assume you belong there, it will help many, you will open their eye, because maybe they are doing it because they think they are doing it right.
Now, brother,
sir,
Everybody works within the grace he has. I know my grace no reach to convert them. So that is why I no go there. Maybe grace fit there for your own. You can join them and try to convert them. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Sir, another thing there is this. Church, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sir, I had you, I find
Let out. Me tell you something. I just answered that from that point of view. But the main reason why the bride of Jesus Christ cannot be part of that is because we have heard the shout. We have heard the shout. The shout says, come out from her. Come out from her. That is the end time message. That is the main reason why we cannot be there. And why is the Spirit saying, come out from her? Remember, Revelation 17 says, harlot and mother of harlots. She has her daughters. They protested from her. They went and they called them Pentecostals. But the time is coming, he will gather them all back. And that is exactly what she is doing. She's bringing all of them back, all of them back, all of them back. All of them are coming back. And the Pope of Rome will be their head one more time. Wait, it's a matter of time. It is according to this Bible. And that is why our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. And through victory is ours, who we are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our Lord, who is the original life, oh, the original life, the original sin, the original world is what I believe. The Son of Man is risen. Blessed to see will be your man, the original. Oh, the original sing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That stanza of a song says, God's attribute we are manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation
by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord, who's original, the original, the original sin.
Yes, sir.
The original one is what I believe. The Son of Man
is in you.
The seventh seal
will be on them.
The original man.
The original seal.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I preach a message that I titled the Jubilee.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jubilee.
Yeah.
6 years you can hold a slave, a Hebrew slave, for 6 years, but the seventh year, the Jubilee will sound, and that slave must go out free. You can't hold him again. Seven church ages, six church ages, the denominations were having their way, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the seventh church age, the Jubilee sound went forth. And the eagles flew out of that cage. That's where we are. We know who we are, and we know what we are raised up for. Back to Bible Christianity. There was no denomination, no association in the Bible. The first church age, nothing like that in the Bible. It's all at the Antichrist system, gathering back the people, ready for the fire that is coming up very soon upon this earth. But before then, the bride will have gone. Let's serve in the name of the Lord. And yes, I tell you again, nobody that remains in the denominational system will go in the rapture. It's according to the Bible. Thank you. Ask your question.
Praise the Lord, church.
They're not giving me preach again today. They're only asking questions. I will take the question, then we close.
Church, praise the Lord.
Yes?
Sir, I found out through your message that you are not against any ministry. You are not against any pastor. But anything you are kicking against, anything contrary to the word of God.
That's all. That's
now, all. Sir, I heard you, even when we are in Tony Obey, because...
At Mafoluku, when we were there, yes?
Sir, I heard you time without number saying there that, you know, you kick against all this G.O. Maybe planting of this church, name, you know, because some Pentecostal churches... Maybe like maybe use redeem, for example, or whatever. Christ Embassy just it's like a family business. Like a man will plant church in each street. Now you can see redeem Christian Church of God. So now, planting of churches, is it bad? Based on this bride assembly. Because in church where I came from, Anglican church, the song we normally sang when we are small, my father's church, before I joined Bride Assembly. Now, with they say like this, you know, let me use Igbo, they say,
before you go further, before you go further, why did you leave Anglican church?
Because I see light.
You see light?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, sir.
Yes?
And another answer to that thing is that, as long as I leave my village and came to Lagos, because what my parents have there is not enough for me to succeed. So it's not big deal if I leave my father's church and look for
me out.
No,
it's okay.
Now, sir, there's some people in London, in Ikorodu here, who need this bride. How can this bride get to Enugu or Kano or whatever if they did not have a planting of
churches? That is where the problem is with so many of us that come to this ministry. Your problem is how will this bride go there, not how will this message go there.
It's the same thing, sir.
It's not the same thing.
It's the same message, because bride is the message himself.
It's not the same thing. And let me tell you that what we are preaching in this church has been in this country since early 70s. And I came across it only in 1989. And started this bride assembly as a church, pastoring as a church, only in 1998. So, this church is just about 10 years or so old. But this message has been on since. And it is not through Bride Assembly I saw this message. So, now, that you have to understand that the emphasis is the message. This, in every city in this country, there are groups of people gathering, preaching what we are preaching here, called the end time message. But there is something you need to understand also. We believe in planting churches, but not planting branches. There are people that have left here, they came here, ministers in this church, that have gone to plant churches. They've left and they are cooperating churches with us. Some of them have called me to even go and inaugurate them when they start. There's one at Ogba. I went with Samuel. Is it Samuel? Professor Samuel, the day I went there. They invited me. When they finally got a place, they wanted me to come and dedicate and ordain their pastor. I went there at Ogba. There's another one at Ejigbo that we've gone there. They have their names. They're not bearing Bride Assembly because they are not to bear Bride Assembly. The important thing is not the name you bear, it's what you preach, what you stand for. Now we have Ketu, and we just sent a brother there now to preach, to pastor that place at Ketu. They are all sister churches. So we say planting of churches, yes, we believe in planting churches because the gospel must spread. But again, you will say, then, how come you have not heard about this entire message all these years? It is because there's a reason for it. It's still playing on God's own program. Yes, because the denomination, as at years back, there are things that this message is shining light on, that no matter how we preach it, years back, nobody will listen. Until now, as the Lord tarried, and then, time is going, the denominational system, particularly the Pentecostal system, they are getting more and more rotten and rotten and rotten and rotten. They have all spent and nothing more to talk about. Now, the message is becoming valuable. It is only now, when we preach now, anything we say, we are not saying anything new because it's something you yourself, you have experienced, you have seen it. You have seen all the nonsense that is going on there. But if we have said this years back, it will mean nothing because they all appeared very sincere and serious. But way back, 1964, William Branham gave that prophecy. He said, Ichabod is written against the Pentecostal denomination because they rejected the word. They called him all manner of names. And the Holy Ghost gave it as, thus said the Lord, the glory has departed. The glory has departed. What do they teach now in the denominations? Do they have any Bible study again for salvation? Every Bible study is how to make you rich, how to prosper, healing, deliverance, faith to do exploits. Tell me whether anybody has broken that. They will spend, I watch them on television. I watch them. They will spend so much money, so much time, and preach about how you will make it 101 steps to success, and then this one, everything, and at the end, so that they won't say they don't talk about salvation. They will spend 3 seconds. And if you want to give your life to Christ, just say after me, Father, I give my life to Christ. I said, that's okay, okay, okay. See you. They have gone. Because they are not interested in the salvation of your soul. Now, amen. And I preached the other day, I told you people about Samson's hair. Praise the Lord. Who remember that? You remember it? Samson's hair. The Philistines cut it off. Hallelujah. And rendered Samson powerless. Amen. It's a type of the church. The strength of the church is the word. cut off, the church becomes powerless. They put him in prison. But after some time, the hair began to grow again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Samson's hair is growing again. And how did he do it? To show them evidence that the hair has grown again, he said they should take him and place him between two poles that held that building. One pole by his right, one pole by his left. He held it. What does it signify as the hair was growing again? The New Testament and the Old Testament. He held onto it again. That's exactly what we are doing. Bringing the old and the new together and presenting a perfect picture for the church to stand again. Church, God is restoring the church back to Bible Christianity. That's exactly what you are seeing now. Praise the Lord. Don't worry. The picture is coming little by little, because even among us we see a lot of carnalities going on because people don't understand the grace of God in this ministry. People just come and focus on what the power is, the gifts and things like that. Sure, the gifts are here, abound, the gifts are here. The gifts are here. But what you do with the gifts, the devil will rob you of the purpose of that gift. By taking your attention and focusing on the gift. We have seen people who have remained in this ministry, came to this ministry, received the grace of God in this ministry. Powerful prophetic gift in this ministry. And for your information, no minister in this church came here with that gift. No minister. They came here, they received that grace here. Play God places them. And before you know what, some of them, they enter their head and then they turn it, instead of salvation, they are thinking of making money and eating with it. And of course, you know, this place cannot contain me and such people. They have to go back to where they came from and open business centers. And sit down, come and see vision, and bring money and all that nonsense. But it's okay. At least they had the message. It stands at judgment against them. That is the sure. Sure. And remember, once you receive a gift, God does not take it back. For the gift and calling of God is without repentance. But he's waiting for you at the judgment day. You will explain what you did with that gift. Okay, so please, concerning this message, as time goes on, we go about, ministers are coming up, those that we see, we send them out, give them all that they need, and each one of these churches that go out from here, we support them fully until they stand. That's what we do. We support them fully until they stand. The ministers that went to Ketu, the whole church, the church is taking care of them. Whatever they need at all is from here. Their monthly allowances, hospital bills, accommodation, everything until they stand. But they don't send their tithe and offering to us, and we don't do the way the denominations do. They are on their own between them and God. But they are our sister church. That is how it is in the Bible.
Church, honestly, I thank God for you, Pastor. Finally, because I have three questions to ask you here now.
Don't let anybody stand up again. Only this one standing now.
Sir, please, I want to talk on Bible college. This Bible
seminary.
School.
Yeah. Yes.
Sir, I heard you through your message. You say that it's Holy Spirit that is perfecting all things in the life of a man, not human being.
Yes.
By giving a certificate. Sir, I went through some Bible. Apostle Paul lied to Corinthians because he's the one who planted church in Corinthian church, Ephesian church, Thessalonica, and Galatia, and Colossia. Sir, is it not part of? Again, before Paul was converted, he stayed with Ananias of Damascus, the high priest there, for 2 years. Now he came back again. He spent 14 years in Arabia. He didn't just converted to today and started preaching. He undergoes some certain things. Likewise, Peter. Before Peter was converted, he stayed with his master. So now, is it any bad thing by someone
who
to
was,
go to?
Who was Peter's master?
Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Sir, now, there are some people like you. I'm under you. If somebody, let's assume you gather the teachers or a source of prophet to educate them, to prepare them for game, is it bad thing? Because I believe but this theological school is a part of preparing them for the so that they can before they can voice out.
Who taught me my own before I become teacher for others?
Well, sir, your gift is, sir, I believe it, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir.
So the Holy Spirit does not teach some people, he only teaches some people.
No, he teaches everybody.
So why are you going to school again if the Holy Ghost is there teaching all of us?
Well, sir.
Church, let me tell you something, brother. When we preach, don't just look at us as critics. Get the impact of what we are saying. Church, there are two things Bible schools achieve that I know of. Number one is every denomination has their own Bible school. What for? Because there are things that they believe. And that is exactly what they gather them to teach. Things they believe. Therefore, they get the school and prepare their ministers for their church expansion. Then, the second thing again it achieves is the other people that have also hijacked that to set up schools of seminary, some of them don't even have any church at all. It's just school. It's commercialization. School. How do I know? You pay school fees. You buy academic gown. You pay for handouts. You pay for whatever it is at all that the secular schools do. You do them in Bible school and church. That's why I say be sincere. The Bible says, freely you have received. Freely you should give. Anything that pertains to the gospel that you have to pay before you can acquire it is certainly not of God. God cannot back it up. God cannot send you to go there and put a barrier of school fees for people. And thirdly, who is a man to set examination to anybody concerning the things that pertain to salvation and say, you have passed or you have failed concerning salvation? Who is a man that will look at you and say, your spiritual level now is diploma? Now, your spiritual level now is first degree, bachelor. Now, masters. Okay, now you are doctor. Concerning salvation. So that you will see where Satan has entered and perverted the gospel. When God calls you, he does not send you to any Bible school. Church. Hallelujah. You gave the example of Peter. Who was Peter's teacher? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you say Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. And he said, when the Holy Ghost shall come, he will teach you all things. He's the teacher. He will lead you to all truth. He is. That is. That, and then you talk about Paul. Now, so is that Jesus? Is that Jesus that taught Peter? Is he dead? He called Peter and taught him. If he called you, he will teach you also. That the problem with us is, so many of us, it is not Jesus that called us. It is our pastor that called us. It is our denomination that called us. And so, Papa, now hunger, call us. Praise God. When God calls you, he does not send you to a Bible school. Paul went to Arabia. He boasted in Galatians chapter 1. He said that none of those who were with Jesus had anything to add to him. Why? The same person that taught them was the same one that taught him. Because the revelation that I give in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, just know that they are commandments of the Lord. Is the Lord that told him personally. That's what he was doing in the desert there. He was with the Holy Ghost studying. For 3 years he was there. And he was not with Ananias. He was teaching anything. Because he boasted. He said none of them added anything to him. Now, when God calls you, he does not send you to any school. When he calls you, he anoints you for the thing he has called you to do. It's the anointing. He anoints you. What he calls you to do, he will anoint you for that thing and back it up. I didn't go to Bible school. Yes, sister. And I have no need for Bible school.
Praise the Lord. I want to know, the Bible said that women should respect their husbands.
That women should
respect their husband as they,
yes.
So, but in the Bible, King Ahasuerus, as in King Ahasuerus, the wife.
Ahasuerus.
Vashti.
Ahasuerus.
So, when the king, they said that the Bible said that the king,
yes,
was with his friends, and they were married. They were drunk. So the king called the wife to come. That so that he would parade the wife before the friends.
Yes.
To show the beauty of the wife. And the Bible said that the wife refused to go.
Yes.
So and the king, you know, divorced her.
And so what's the question?
My question is this: is that as in when they say that women should respect their husband? As in when the husband asks you to do something bad and you refused, is it a sin?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you are mixing this thing up. You gave the story of Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus.
That is, I don't know why God allowed the divorce, because the woman, she was a nice woman. He prepared a meal for the husband, but the only thing she did was refusing to answer the husband. And the husband
was it a good thing that she refused to answer?
That's what I want to know. Maybe at times, maybe your husband might ask.
No, in the case of the queen Vashti, was it proper that she refuses to come out when the king says she should come?
She refused because the king wanted to, you know, show off her beauty.
Oh.
The Bible said that they were drunk. They were drunk, those men there. And the king called the wife to come.
Praise the Lord. Have you heard the teaching I took on the book of Esther? Have you heard it? You haven't.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen. When you want to give interpretation to Old Testament stories, let something guide you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, 17 says that the whole law, all those ordinances, all those laws, all this Old Testament says it's a shadow of the things to come. Every story you see in the Old Testament is saying something about Christ and the church. It's a shadow, giving you a shadow of a picture that is coming up. So, everyone, including the story of Samson, the story of Joseph, everything in the Old Testament, including what happened in the Garden of Eden, everything speaks about Christ and the church. Now, so, if you go to the book of Esther, that is where you are referring to. Yes. The king there, King Ahasuerus, made a feast and invited his wife, his queen, his beautiful queen, to show forth the beauty he has in the palace. And she disobeyed and made young guy refuse to come. Now, that story is repeated in Matthew chapter 22, the story of the wedding feast, where the wedding was prepared and those that were bidden to come, they refused. So what did he do? He got angry, said, okay, let them go to the byways, and then, you know, that story there. But now, we have Queen Vashti. She refused to come. Therefore, the king decided to put her away and get another queen instead of Vashti. And you saw who qualified. It was a slave. A slave girl by the name of Esther. A nonentity. How can a slave ever think of being a queen? But she had to be prepared before being presented to the king for acceptance. And who was the one that was saddled with the preparation of the queen for Esther, I mean for the king. They were called the chamberlains. Those chamberlains there, there were seven of them. All this has something to do with the New Testament church. What is it? The king there is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he came to his own, the Jews. The Jews rejected him. And since they rejected him, he put them away and turned to the Gentiles. Unclean things, uncircumcised things. Now he then got himself a queen known as the bride. The process is still going on. To get a queen instead of Vashta, instead of Israel, he came to the Gentile to get. But now notice that there were many maidens that went out, preparing themselves, hoping to be the ones that the king will select. But there was a difference between Esther and the other maidens. Esther was obedient to the chamberlain. It is what the chamberlain told her to put up that she put up, because the chamberlain knows what the king likes and what he does not like. A type of the fact that so many churches now, denominations, they are all preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is an Esther among them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And there is a chamberlain in this age that has prepared and told us what the king likes and what he does not like. King Jesus. So, it's not that. But there is a fundamental question you ask, sister, that as a woman, if your husband gives you a wrong thing to do, must you just obey? No, the Bible says, obey your husband as unto the Lord. We are talking about a Christian setting. If your husband tells you to do unscriptural things, of course, you can't do it. You won't do it. And when you stand on it, God will back you up. So, we're talking about a proper Christian setting. Not the type that Christian woman marry unbeliever man. Of course, you will suffer for that kind of house. I'm talking about Christian families together. That when you recognize the husband as your head, and whatever he tells you to do is you subject yourself to him. Subject yourself to him. And be in obedience to him. The Bible instructs us so. Okay?
Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Griffin.
God bless you.
Please, I want to ask a question concerning your message here on Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah. Yes.
Over Isaac and Ishmael.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, when you are preaching here on Sunday, I followed that message spiritually. And you made mention of many things concerning Ishmael. Sir, I want to ask one question. Now, the same Abraham is the father of Ishmael. And later Ishmael was cast out of Abraham's house.
Yes.
Ishmael, if I should say, is he a serpentine seed?
Is he a serpentine
seed? Yeah.
No, listen. I only introduced it. I have not... this Sunday now,
I'm sure you're never
this Sunday message, I will bring out what the message is all about. And just like we say, what the story is bringing out, that is the main thing the story is bringing out. That story is not just put there for us to know what happened in the family of Abraham. No. It's one, it explains physically why the Arabs, those in the Middle East, why they hate Israel till today. Because the Arabians, they are the Ishmaelites, they are all offspring of Ishmael. And remember that even in the house of Abraham, Ishmael was already having problem with Isaac. Why? Because Isaac was the child of promise. So also, you know, it's happening till today. And you will understand that the angel of God came and blessed Ishmael,
yeah.
Even Ishmael, it was the angel that named him, gave him the name Ishmael. And what's the meaning of Ishmael?
I don't know, sir.
You don't remember, you were here on Sunday. God hears. That's the meaning. God hears. And what's the meaning of Isaac? Laughter. Okay. Now, so that to tell you that it was God that also named, gave him the name. So God was interested and blessed him. He said, he will be richly blessed. Are they not blessed today?
They are blessed.
They are blessed. It's that same blessing that's still following till today. But that enmity. Now, the emphasis there is that Ishmael and Isaac, they are all sons having claim of the same father, Abraham. But the emphasis there is that the promise, the covenant, the promise was not for Ishmael, but for Isaac. But Abraham is their father. That is the emphasis there. And we are bringing it to the church. So that you will know the two types of churches, all claiming they are all from Jesus Christ.
Sir, you know, you made mention of the denominational churches.
Yes.
You said that God blessed Ishmael.
Yes.
And if anyone should say that the power in the denominational churches are
evil,
occultic, say that person is making a mistake.
Sure.
No. Sir, if I may ask again, whenever I think about this particular portion, God allowed Ishmael to exist.
Yes.
And he was driven away from Abraham's house. And he was not part of Abraham, God's promise.
No, there's a statement you made now. You said God allowed
Ishmael
to exist. Are you saying that God will have killed him?
Sir, I know he allowed Ishmael to exist for a purpose.
No. What do you mean by he allowed Ishmael to exist?
Because he has already promised Abraham that he will give him a son.
Yes.
But now,
was it God that gave him Ishmael?
It was God also.
Was it on God's instruction that he had Ishmael?
It was not God. That's exactly where I'm going, sir.
Uh-huh.
So, whereby it was not God's instruction, then why would God allow Ishmael to come to exist?
That is where we come to the sermon I preach. I titled The Perfect Will and the Permissive Will of God. There is God's perfect will and there is God's permissive will. I've explained that in depth in that message where I preach. I titled it The Perfect Will and the Permissive Will of God. Now, although it is not God, remember, it is not God. God spoke to Abraham that you will have a child from your own loins, because he was thinking it is Eliezer of Damascus. But God said, it's not Eliezer. The seed I will give you will come from your own loins. 25 years passed. And it looks as if that promise will not come to pass. And his wife, Sarah, was getting to 90 years old. So the woman thought, look, the best thing is so that you won't die without leaving a seed. Have my housemaid and enter and have a child. After the child came out, God still came to Abraham and said, it is not this one. It is the one that will come from your very wife. Sarah indeed will conceive. When he spoke that one, Sarah even laughed. He's waiting an attack for them. Abraham asked, will a woman who is 90 years old, him almost 100 years old, still give birth? And God said, is there anything too hard for the Lord to do? He said, Abraham, as I live, by this time. Amen. So the Isaac was a child of promise. Now, all you can catch from that story is the mistake so many of us make. When God gives you a promise, you begin to work out that promise to come to pass with man's idea. Instead of waiting for the appointed time, God didn't tell you how you will get it. He said, I will do it for you. Wait and leave him to do it. Ideas will be coming up your head, Okay, since he says so, okay, let me do it like this. Let me do it like that. Leave it like that. Let him work it out himself. So, you discover that Isaac was a child of promise, but Ishmael was a product of idea of man. And it's a type of two churches. The church of promise and the church that is a product of idea of man. That is what that story is telling. We shall explain it on Sunday in
details. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
In details. Any other person? Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question is, I want you, Pastor, please, I want you to throw more light on tithe.
Tithe. Yes?
Especially the salary earners.
Yep.
I was discussing with a sister. So she said that there are many things that comprises of salary. Before they call it salary, they have housing allowance.
They have allowances. Yes, all men have allowances. Yes,
transportation, medical
allowance is allowance.
And they now have basic salary.
Basic salary.
You know, said that.
Which one are you to tithe?
Which one can one tithe? So we are now sharing on it. So I said, but this thing, what called salary, comprises of all this. But they are all profit. She said no.
So
that the only profit there is the basic salary. I said, but there's no capital. He didn't invest. At the end of the month, they give you all as profit. So you remove 10, one quarter out of, 10.
Oh. Okay.
One ten.
Okay.
So I want to know exactly. How
when the law of taxation, the government law of taxation, tells you that it is your basic salary that is taxed. But that is for the government, the law of the land. But the law of the kingdom of God is your total net income that comes to you. Total. Take 10% of it. And pay whether it made up or whatever you break it down to, the total is an income to you. After they have taken their own, whatever they cut, whatever comes to you that month or that period, whatever period you pay your tithe, 10% of it. Forget all these intricacies. Total is total.
Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you. It's total. It's an income. The emphasis is your income, increase in income. Yes?
Praise the Lord, church. Pastor, God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too.
My question is related to the issue concerning the change of house fellowship to cell units.
Yep.
So, because of the job I got, I was relocated to Ikorodu. And getting there is like the units at K2 is quite far from Ikorodu.
Yes.
And the kind of job I do, I've gone around almost all the towns in Ikorodu because I worked with a bank. We do loan recovery. So we go from one town to the other with the company bus. So I've discovered that Ikorodu is a very big and fast developing city.
Yes.
And now I've found out it's like on the list of the cell units, there's no single one in Ikorodu. What is the church doing about it, sir?
Come, there's the coordinator for Ikorodu. Come and answer him. Give me a microphone.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
Brother, we have a cell unit at Ikorodu.
Okay.
If you have been reading the Sunday bulletin 2 weeks ago, there was a publication announcing the takeoff of the cell unit at Ikorodu. So by tomorrow, we'll be having our second service there. The address and everything, they are there in the bulletin for two Sundays ago. So please, just cultivate the habit when you come to church. If you have the bulletin, cultivate the habit of going through. And as a matter of fact, by the next publication of the voice, everything will be there. This Sunday too, the newsletter for bulletin. Tomorrow, the bulletin for tomorrow, you have it there. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. God bless you. We those of you who are members of this church, we use this opportunity to let you know that we have cell units where our members in a particular area can come together, we get to know ourselves, and ministers are in charge of them. There's something that you have to understand. There's one advantage we have so much in this church, so much, that God's grace is so much, so much in this ministry. His grace is so much, so much. Sometimes all your attention is just on the pastor or those you see holding microphone. That's all you know. But I'm telling you that, and that is the truth, not to be humble over it. There are more people, more anointed in this church that you don't even know anything about them. They are there. I'm telling you, there are people here that I have referred cases of cancer, diabetes, HIV, that we pray and HIV will disappear. And you don't know them because they don't hold microphone. They don't hold microphone. Epilepsy, disappear. And so, they are in these cell units so that when anything happens, you contact them, they run around there. Eh? For instance, this one, and nobody know you. Eh? Do you know him? You know him. You know him. They don't even know you too. Eh? You don't know this one. Stand up. You don't know him. After our June camp, he received fire. The fire is still burning. So I told him, I said, before the fire burn, go down. We're going to use you. Any serious case, wake up, they push, go meet them. And kaka is over. You see? Praise the Lord. As a sister here, that serious prophetess, not too many people know her, a fruit of the womb, she handled your case, chap, it's gone. Ngozi, is she here? Where is she? She's not here today? Well, she is here every Wednesday anyway, attending to women here. And so it's good that you join this group so that when there is emergency, when there is any problem, just call. They will rush, run around. It's important. Of course, we use that cell unit to identify our members. And some of you will call. Instead of saying that, I will come to your church every Friday, they will say, I'll be a member. So I will ask you, which cell unit are you? They will say, I never joined, sir. But I will soon join. It's for your own good we create. It's for your welfare. We, with the grace of God here, so many gifted brethren, men and women, that anointing, let's enjoy it. Get close to them. Come together. When there's any battle, they will come together. That is what identifies us as the bride. The grace of God among us. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, I want to thank God for your life, for the way these messages are preached. Your knowledge about this message is so unique. And honestly, from the first day I stepped into this place, I came in here for water baptism. I've been in the end time message for some time. And that day, as God will have it, you preached Jesus is God. And the way the message was delivered, it captivated me so much that for so many reasons, I don't miss this place.
Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands now. Amen. You have been in this entire message?
Yes, for some time.
Where were you worshiping?
We had a ministry that we were running, Commandos for Christ.
That's a serious name.
Yeah, and the ministry went under because of the leadership of the ministry.
Okay.
As God will have it, I was preaching with a Pentecostal church for some time. Okay. But I could not flow there. Because I could not be a worker, I could not do anything. It took a lot of time because before our ministry went under, I couldn't have my right water baptism. So my wife came by one day and said, look, she found a place where you can have the water baptism.
That's right.
So I came here for that water baptism. I just wanted to just have the water baptism and go. Because the message is a message of knowledge. And as God will have it, that day I came, the way the message was delivered, I was convinced that I was in the right place.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, amen. I've never ceased coming. Although for some reasons, I could not get deep for now. I also want to pray that very soon, that this ministry will be on the internet. I will also be on cable so that the messages will not be edited anymore and they will not be censored.
Amen.
Because your teachings against the papacy must be heard outside.
That's right.
Because no other person can say it. Praise the Lord.
Yes, if I just make a comment on that. The truth is we are on the internet. We have two websites. The first one is thebrideassembly.org and the second website is thebrideassemblytv.org. There you can hook up live all over the world during our services live. They are with us, they hear us all over the world. You can hook up.
Okay. Yes. I'm glad to hear that. Praise the Lord.
And we are looking forward before the end of the year to have our own satellite station 24 hours.
Praise the Lord.
24 hours. We have it.
So my question is this. Something happened today. A brother who is in the denomination who we are sharing today is an assistant area or parish leader or pastor somewhere. He was ordained. So we had some arguments. We were talking about women preaching in churches. He was telling me how Ryan Bonnke justified it and all that. When we finished that and we went to the Trinity, as we are talking about the Trinity, and I told him there's no Trinity, there's no way you can find Trinity in the Bible as we're talking. And this brother said, also, there's no way you can find rapture, a word rapture in the Bible. As a matter of fact, when he said that, I could not continue with the argument or with the sharing. Please, my mission is, I want an in-depth scriptural backing to clarify this very issue because it's bothering my mind.
I think the guy is correct. Praise the Lord. He is correct. You too, you are correct. Because there is no word like Trinity in the Bible. And there is also no word like rapture in the Bible. Trinity is an English word. Rapture is an English word. And their meaning is in the dictionary. So what's the problem? The word Trinity is a description of the understanding of the Godhead that says there are three personalities in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three of them. Trinity. That is unity of the three gods or three personalities. Now, when you say there is nothing like Trinity in the Bible, what you are actually saying is that there is nothing supporting that doctrine in the Bible. Not to say there is no word like Trinity. It's true. There's no word like Trinity in the Bible. But Trinity explains something they are seeing in the Bible. So you are saying what the emphasis is that your doctrine of Trinity is not in the Bible. It's unscriptural. It's different from saying there is no Trinity in the Bible. That is why he also replied you by saying, you too, there is no rapture. What is rapture? Rapture is the terminology used to describe the translation of the saints. It's an English word. So there is rapture in the Bible. Rapture is an English word describing the translation of the saints for homegoing. So if he says there is no word as rapture in the Bible, he's correct. But there is rapture in the Bible. That's what I'm saying. I think it's our presentation that gives rise to such
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's not like somebody come and meet me and say, yeah.